Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We have begun a study in 1 Corinthians, and so I invite you to turn to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. This is God's word. "I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in him in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by members of Chloe's people, that there is rivalry among you. What I'm saying is this: one of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in Paul's name? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. I did, in fact, baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't recall if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ will not be emptied of its effect. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the intelligence of the intelligent.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one may boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Have you ever had to confront somebody about something that they did not confess to you, but you got a report about something they did? Perhaps it involved siblings telling on each other. Perhaps it involved students in a school reporting that so-and-so did this. Perhaps it has been in some other setting. Believe it or not, pastors even encounter this phenomenon. This person thinks that the pastor should know about this person. And sometimes we need to know. Paul has been informed about a bunch of problems in Corinth. Problems among those who were followers of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, there are in church after church people who are pretending to be followers of Jesus Christ. But as we said last time, looking at the opening verses, there are people who are born again who still mess up. Some of you may have on occasion done something wrong in your life. It's possible with a group this size that somebody here, since coming to faith in Christ, has actually done something wrong. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. All of us need God's grace. All of us need a Savior because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And after we're converted, we still have a propensity for sin. We still have a bent in the wrong direction that's part of that old nature that we have to consider ourselves dead to. We have to consider that is no longer my identity. And even if I have a temptation in that direction, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there because that's not who I am now. Jesus Christ makes us new, and when he does, old things pass away. We can't continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. In Christ Jesus, we have a new nature, and we have through him the power to live a different kind of life. But we still mess up sometimes. And when the sins become as bad as they were at Corinth, we need an apostolic word that tells us, hey, God saved you, now you're going to need to live like it. That's what this letter is about. And the first problem that Paul addresses is one that was reported by those who were part of Chloe's household. It was actually reported that there were divisions in the church. Now, later in the book, they're going to deal with a whole bunch of other things. Some of the people were not just religiously divided, feeling superior to each other and distant from one another because they had their favorite teachers. Some of these people had gotten involved in business deals and were suing each other. They were taking each other to court. Paul's going to deal with that later. But the first four chapters, the main problem that Paul addresses is division within the body. People whose fondness for a particular teacher caused them to group according to that. Within the body of Christ, we're supposed to be different from one another and work together. Some of us lean this way, some of us lean this way, and if we aren't careful, we'll begin to just try and pull together a group of people who all lean in the same direction we do. And that's how groups become divided, and it's how individuals become increasingly unbalanced. But if I'm leaning this way and you're leaning that way, perhaps we should hold hands and we could walk in a straight line, okay? Instead of ending up just going around and around and around in circles.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Paul said within this body it was reported that there were divisions. And he says, I'm pleading with you that you agree in what you say and there be no divisions among you and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction. It's been reported by members of Chloe's people that there's rivalry among you. One of you says, I belong to Paul. Now, obviously, those were the only people who were right. Right? I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos. Apollos was a very gifted teacher. Or I belong to Cephas. That's another way of saying St. Peter's name. Or, and these are my favorite people, I belong to Christ. You people can all have your favorite teacher. I belong to Christ. Is that the group you'd belong to? I grew up in what's called a non-denominational church. My father had started out Baptist, but he ended up going with non-denominational churches. And I remember a real sense of disconnect when I was a kid in elementary school. And children back then in public school talked about what church they went to. And this kid went to the Methodist church, and this kid went to the Presbyterian church, and this kid went to the Baptist church. And I had to say, in public school, teacher didn't ask, students asked, my church is non-denominational. Okay? Well, I mean, it was good for developing oratory skills to be able to say that word, but non-denominational? What in the world is that? Well, you see, non-denominational is actually two different kinds of groups. Some non-denominational churches believe that denominations are of the devil because they divide the body of Christ. We should not be in all these groups. We should be non-denominational. Those people are really wacky. And then there are other non-denominational people who say, you know, what denomination you belong to really doesn't matter. The important thing is whether or not you know the Lord. We were part of that group, or at least we tried to be. Every group that has started out saying, I don't want to be part of one of the divisions, we're going to just be a group that gets along with everybody, ends up becoming a denomination. Okay? Church of Christ, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the Assemblies of God, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and other groups that I won't try and recall at the moment, all started with the express desire that we're not going to be a part of those divisions, we're just going to follow Christ. Well, it's wonderful to just want to follow Christ, but if you're not careful, you begin to imply that people who aren't part of your group aren't really following Christ, at least not as well as you are. Okay? I think this is a wonderful church. I think this is a wonderful group. I absolutely love you folks. But I think there are a bunch of other actually pretty wonderful churches in East Tennessee that are not affiliated with us. They're just affiliated with various groups or independent or whatever and seeking to follow the Lord. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. It matters who you belong to. You belong to Jesus. You may find yourself in this group, or 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 you may be somebody who started out in this group and moved over to this group, but after a while you decided you needed to be a part of this group. That's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And these Corinthians who had believed the gospel, who had been born again, Paul doesn't write to them and he said, listen, I understand there's some divisions in the church. You need to be born again. He says, I'm writing to a group of people who've been born again. You belong to God. Now let me tell you something. You need to stop fracturing from each other based on who your favorite teacher is. By the end of chapter 4, Paul's going to make a strong appeal for them to listen to him. You just need to know that. Paul isn't saying it doesn't matter what you believe. What Paul is saying is, what matters is that you trust in Christ, and I want to teach you, okay? He will argue that he has a special relationship with the Corinthians. But before he gets there, he's going to make it clear that he and Apollos and Peter are just servants of the Lord. Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the vine. We're the branches. Our relationship is to be first and foremost with the Lord. So Paul writes and he tells them, I don't want you to have these divisions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in Paul's name? What follows in the next few verses is one of my favorite examples of why we must never take a verse out of context and try and build a doctrine on it. Okay? This is God's inspired word. Please listen carefully. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. I did, in fact, baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't recall if I baptized anyone else. What just happened? Go back to verse 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother. Paul had a vision problem. When he wrote anything, it had to be in very large letters. Sosthenes is writing this thing down. Paul is dictating it. And as Paul is dictating it, he says, I thank God I only baptized those two folks. And, you know, not wanting to interrupt, Sosthenes says, didn't you also baptize the household of Stephanas? Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. And all of that gets taken down. Okay? Now, if you were to take, and by the way, remember the verse divisions and the chapter divisions were not part of the original. That was added later by Bishop Usher. But if you were to take just verse 14 and verse 15, that gives you two verses to build a doctrine. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. You took those two verses and said, that's God's word. I'm going to stand on it. I believe it. Nobody's going to change my mind. Would you be right or wrong? You'd be wrong. Why? Because in the next verse, he says, okay, I did in fact baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized any others. So in other words, you read this, which immediately follows, by the way, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It immediately follows, and it puts the first part in context and says, what is the point Paul is making? Paul is saying, I just want you to remember, all of you, regardless of who baptized you, you were baptized into Christ. You were baptized in his name, not mine. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ will not be emptied of its effect. Again, don't rip verses out of context and build a whole doctrine. For Christ did not send me to baptize. Well, what about the Great Commission? I mean, the Great Commission, Jesus says, go into the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So is Paul denying the Great Commission? No. Paul's saying that the baptism aspect of what we do is not the thrust of what we do. Okay? Just one more reason why I am not eager to be known as James the Baptist. Okay? I want people to know Jesus. Baptism is an important act of obedience to our Lord. But folks, you can be baptized a dozen times and go to hell. Because it's not baptism that saves, it's Jesus who saves. The thief on the cross didn't have an opportunity to be baptized. But Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Because it's Jesus who saves. So when Paul says, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, he's not devaluing baptism. He's continuing his thought, which is we should not be divided among ourselves as to which group we're in out of loyalty to this pastor, this teacher, this tradition, this group of believers. I have more in common with my brothers and sisters in other parts of the world than I do with many who call themselves Christians in this country. Because it's not about what we look like or what language we speak or what our architecture is like or what songs we sing. It's about who we worship. And so Paul is telling the Corinthians, stop dividing over loyalty to this teacher, that teacher, or the other teacher. I know some people whose favorite teachers are dead. Right? Favorite teachers. Do I have any favorite teachers like that? Yeah, I'll give you one of mine. A.W. Tozer. The guy died when I was young. And I haven't been young in a long time. Okay? But he's still one of my favorite teachers. And if I meet somebody who also likes A.W. Tozer, we don't go off and start a new denomination. Okay? We just appreciate the fact that, yeah, I love his stuff too. But I'm not going to divide the body of Christ according to who our favorite teachers are. That was happening in Corinth because the sinful, carnal heart wants to be part of a clique so that we can feel superior to others. We go to this church. We do things this way. Well, in my tradition, we always do it like this. Lay it down. One of the things I love about this church is we've got folks from multiple traditions who are drawn together by their love for Jesus and their desire to serve him. That's the body of Christ. So, beginning in verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved. You cannot preach Christ without preaching the cross. You cannot preach the cross without pointing people to Christ. This is essential. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he rose from the dead as conqueror over death. That is foolishness to a lot of people. But to us who are being saved, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, verse 24. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And then Paul goes on to say, I want you to remember where you come from. God deliberately chose the weak, the not so noble, not powerful, not wise. He chose people not based on any righteousness in us, but based on his mercy and grace. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what he is. Our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In order that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Folks, that's what we're called to. That's what God wants us to celebrate.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.wearsvalleyranch.org.